Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to begin a new section of our study by looking at what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, during the last few years of the Apostle John's life, the Christian church was going through tremendous upheaval. False doctrine was being spread around the world, and false teachers were infiltrating the church on every hand. At the time that John wrote this epistle, around the last few years of the first century, Christianity was under severe attack both from within and without the walls of the church. Many of the things that John teaches us through these powerful verses are designed to keep us strong during those times of external persecution and turmoil. So contrary to what we may tend to think, any time that there is external persecution against Christianity, any time that battles come from outside the church, those hardships actually result in Christians to band together, to become stronger, to stand firm in the faith. In fact, according to history, persecution always solidifies believers and helps them to actually be stronger than if all was well and they were at peace. We can see this clearly throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where for anyone to become a Christian in the first century guaranteed them vicious persecution and almost always brought about certain death, and yet the church grew by the thousands. We can also see that unlike our modern laid-back church, the preaching and teaching that was done by the apostles was of a gospel that required people to walk on a straight and narrow path, and that called them to come to the cross to die and to love not the world. And yet in spite of teaching what many today would view as being hard, mean-spirited, cruel, and even legalistic doctrine, history proves that the church grew exponentially. So it is not true to think that hardships or a gospel that makes demands on people hinders church growth. That's simply not true. But battles from within the walls of the church do tend to demoralize us, and they do divide us, and they do help to make us weaker and to lose sight of what Christianity is all about. Most of the battles in the first century that originated inside the church were not about the things that you might think. They were about issues of truth versus error and about what Christians should or should not believe or confess. There is very little concern today about doctrinal integrity or purity in our day. Upholding divine truth has fallen on hard times. Standing up and crying out against false teachers and false doctrines will cause you to be quickly labeled as anything except what you really are, which is faithful. Most people today want everybody to like them, and they want to like everybody. And so there is a great effort to try to stay away from any controversial issue that seems to divide us, even if those issues are specifically taught or commanded in Scripture. It is just easier to go along to get along. And in 21st century America, it is deemed far more important to be on the right side of political issues and judicial appointments and specific candidates than it is to preach the gospel rightly, fully, and fearlessly, and to live our lives as though we truly were saved. It is thought much more noble to build relationships than it is to speak the truth in love. It is said that we are better served if we are friends with the world rather than separated from it. And most all of the church growth gurus of our day teach that by us living and acting more and more like the lost pagan world, we will somehow influence more people, all in direct contradiction to what the Bible teaches and 2,000 years of church history. And this cavalier attitude about things like truth, doctrine, and sound biblical teaching is a radical departure from traditional and historic and orthodox Christianity. The chief concern of the apostles was not who sat on the throne of their government. The chief concern of the apostles was not how much or how little injustices were being conducted by the brutal Roman army. The chief concern of the apostles was the integrity and quality of divine truth, and to make sure that what Christ said was what was actually believed and taught. During the last years of John's life, as he dictated this epistle to his disciple, as a very old man, new, young, brilliant, very charismatic, and very articulate teachers began to rise up in the church, who began to preach and teach things that Jesus did not authorize, that God the Holy Spirit did not inspire, and these new teachings begin to take the church by storm. Like today, the deciding factor as to whether or not a church or a believer would accept a teaching was not how accurate that teaching was to Scripture, but was for no other reason than it was popular. So great orators and powerful and influential people, men of great financial status, began to teach things contrary to sound doctrine and began to lead the church astray. But a funny thing happens when the church of Jesus begins to go astray. Jesus himself said in Matthew 16 that he himself was going to build his church and that the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. And so because Jesus owns the church, Jesus is faithful to raise up men to cry out against the heresies and the apostasies and the false teachings that Jude said was going to creep into the church, and they call the church to repent and to return to her first love, and God sent genuine, heaven-sent revival. And that revival began with a passionate return to the altar as men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then God sovereignly draws men back to the Scriptures in intense line upon line, precept upon precept studies of the only book that God gave to man, and those begin anew with newfound eagerness. And as the Word of God is read and studied and learned and believed, our hypocrisy and our shallowness and our lukewarmness, our pragmatism and our worldliness is exposed, and it is made crystal clear and identified, and once again the people of God humble themselves, and they begin to pray, and they begin to seek God's face, and they begin to turn away from their wicked ways. And once again, God hears from heaven and forgives their sin and heals their land. And this is exactly what was happening late in the first century as John, now in his late 90s, the last living apostle, looked over the horizon of the visible church of that day and saw a great need to pin down these words to make sure that he left the church in good hands. Paul was gone. The greatest of all evangelists and apostles had already been beheaded 20 years earlier. Peter had been crucified upside down, where he had taken 4 days to die. James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, Barnabas, all gone, all martyred, all now in heaven with Jesus, crying out under the mercy seat, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" So John was the last living man who had actually touched the Lord, the last living man who laid his head on Jesus' breast, who had walked and talked with the incarnate God. So John felt a tremendous duty, a responsibility, to tell this young fledgling church to cleave to that which is good, to be faithful to the doctrine of the apostles, lest the Lord of the church would come and remove their candlestick. So here in chapter 4 of this great letter to the church at Ephesus, written by the disciple whom Jesus loved, John warns the church with tears not to go to sleep, not to slumber, but to be awakened and to watch and to pray, to be diligent, because the enemy was at the door. So he writes these words, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe everything that people teach, simply because they teach it in Jesus' name," John cried. "Don't be silly about eternity. Don't be naive as it pertains to the fact that there are many, not a few, many false prophets gone out into the world." John says don't accept something simply because it is popular, simply because it brings you personal gain, simply because it makes you happy, because it makes you feel better about yourself. But test the spirits. Make precise determination as to whether their teachings are from God or not. Put every spirit to a test. Analyze what is being taught, what is being said. Hold everything accountable to Scripture. Develop spiritual discernment. Exercise self-restraint. Resist the temptation to simply repeat what other people say. In writing this verse, John joins with other writers who also wrote inspired, infallible, and inerrant truth about this very same subject. For example, under the very same anointing, and for the very same reason, Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." And the half-brother of Jesus Christ wrote this in Jude verses 3 and 4. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." And the beloved brother Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." And when asked about this, the Lord Jesus Christ himself began his discussion on the last days and his own second coming with this warning from Matthew 24, verse 4, "See to it that no one misleads you." So John the Beloved joins in with these as he begins to teach in chapter 4 what I pray will encourage and enlighten and strengthen you as we study this great chapter together. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.